Topic for today is lighting Ner Chanukah in a Beis HaKnesses and Beis Medrash. The lighting of a Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis Medrash is the quintessential minhag. When we talk about minhagim, there are very few minhagim where you can really say this is a real custom.
They light it in the morning.
As well, we're going to come to that in a few moments. Why is this the quintessential minhag? Because it doesn't say this anywhere in the Talmud. The Talmud says that when the Chashmonaim, my Chanukah, when the Chashmonaim overcame, prevailed upon the Yavanim, they came to the Beis Hamikdash, they did not find the Pach Shemen, and they found one Pach Shemen, and they lit the menorah list for 8 days, and Meila Mitzner Chanukah, Ner Yishu Beisoy, Mahadrin, Ner Lecholech Viachar, Mahadrin, and Mahadrin, Moisif Vahilich, Pechis Vahilich, Beis HaKnesses. It's a din of Ner Ish Ubeisoy, the bias in your home. You have to have a home to be mekayim this mitzvah. Where does it come to light a Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses? The Beis HaKnesses is not your bias. So what's going on? Where does it come from? So the answer is it's a minhag. You're right. It's not halacha.
So where does the minhag come from?
It's a minhag. A minhag. So we'll come. Why? It evolved. It evolved into a minhag. So some say that. Some indeed say that. Some say because there are people that live, they are guests, that live in the shul. So we'll come to that. But
Arachim used to sleep in the shul.
I don't own the shul. Arachim, so this is discussed. Some want to suggest is that it's for the Arachim, the guests. But the guests, did not sleep on the benches in the shul. They had a side room. And if they had a side room, that became their bias. So they would light by the Pesach of the side room leading into the outside, wherever that was. Not in the Beis HaKnesses on the Bima, or on in front of the Aron Kodesh, on the right, to the left side, and so on and so forth. Where does it come from? It's a custom. Now, okay, fine. Yeah.
To light in the shul.
To light in the shul. But let's go a step further. Okay, one thing you want to light, but to make a bracha? To make a bracha b'shem u'malchus asher k'dushan b'mitzvot sivanu at k'day kach. So that already is an extreme. Where else do we have a precedent to make a bracha on a minhag? Halo chatzi halel on Rosh Chodesh. These are, the only two, if I'm mistaken, the two quintessential minhagim. Chatzi halel on Rosh Chodesh. It's not a yom tef Rosh Chodesh. Bizman hazeh with this isum alacha. So you want to say halel? You can't say halel because you know it's not a yom tef. So say chatzi halel is a zecher that it once was a yom tef, it once will be a yom tef. But to make a bracha? Wow, that's serious business. What? To light a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. There's no mekar to light a menorah. It's not ner ishu beisoy. To make a bracha? So to say kiddush is not as complex. Because saying kiddush, that's a very good point. Saying kiddush also making a bracha. But there it really comes from the orchim, the guests, who ate in the Beis HaKnesses. So there's more strength. There's what to work with. There's what to work with that in the rules of halacha it can make. You're right. Today it has developed into a minhag in some places, but you should be aware that many shuls, you know, I think Rav Moshe, someone told this to me, or you told this to me, that someone made a new Beis HaKnesses and they asked, you told me this? And the answer to the sin is such a better not to start. If already that's the custom, go ahead and do it. Not to, if you, a new Beis HaKnesses to initiate the custom to recite Kiddush Friday night in the Beis HaKnesses should not be done. Because it's very complex, it has to be Kiddush B'mokim Suda, and no one is eating in the Beis HaKnesses. So this that it's done, even though no one is eating, is only based upon Minigav Osemi B'yodemi from the time of Chazal, when people did eat in the Beis HaKnesses. So it was a true Kiyam of Kiddush B'mokim Suda, even though Bizman Hazeh no one is in the Beis HaKnesses, so you don't have Kiddush B'mokim Suda, but still Minigav Osemi B'yodemi, so we still make the Baruch, we still make Kiddush. But to go, and if you're a new community, a new Beis HaKnesses, to initiate this custom of reciting Kiddush is not so simple. Better not to get involved. But Al-Khayra, Rav Moshe would say, if you'd ask Rav Moshe, should you light in the Beis HaKnesses? I'm just guessing, the new Beis HaKnesses, someone builds a new shul, and everyone comes together, Al-Khayra, they would make the bracha, L'halak ner shulchanuk in the Beis HaKnesses at night. Oh, but there are no archim in the Beis HaKnesses. It's a minhag. It's a minhag Yisrael, And it's done even with a bracha. That's the strength of the minhag, how far this minhag goes. Now, why do we do this? So how did it develop? How did it come about? So simply it's because Persumanisa. The whole purpose of making, the whole purpose of lighting the menorah is in order to be fasting the nest, and it fits in the theme of Persumanisa, and this developed, it has to have developed long, long ago, during at least 2,000 years ago, during some say that it was part of, it was initially a minhag when the Yavon and the Chashem, when the miracle happened. Okay, whatever it is. I mean, Lubavitch has really latched onto this. Lubavitch, they go out all over the world with politicians and massive, giant-sized menorahs all over the world, airports and the convention centers, and they light with cherry pickers, and you name it, with a bracha and with cameras rolling and so on and so forth.
Moscow Square, Friday.
Yeah.
But they got it light and get back in time.
The cherry picker. So they really picked up on this, and really where it comes from, what Lubavitch does, whether it's right or wrong, is really an extension of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses, because the Ikar Hadin is to light Ner Ish Ubeisai. This has set a new precedent to light in the Beis HaKnesses. And lighting the Beis HaKnesses is because Persumenisa, the more Persumenisa, the better. So why only the shul? Let's go out and light out in the street. Let's go light in the airport. Let's go have a kin lighting ceremony in a football game. That's what has become.
The menorahs on City Hall grounds.
Exactly. So it's pursuing. Now, not everyone is happy with this idea of lighting out in the street and other locations that are unpopular, because some want to say that the minhag was only established in the Beis HaKnesses, similar to the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Bayis, Ner Ish Ubeisai. We have the minhag of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses because it resembles the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate Mikdash. Ultimate, Beis HaKnesses is a Me'ein, is a Mikdash Ma'at. So it's a Mikdash Ma'at, we do it with Me'ein that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. But to go light out in a stadium, there's no purpose. That's not a Mikdash Ma'at. That's not a Beis HaMikdash. There's no need to do so. So some are not so pleased with that custom. Okay, as you said, others say that the reason why they lied, the minute to light in the Beis HaKnesses came from the guests, being that they were always guests in the Beis HaKnesses, and they did not have someone to light for them, and so they would be mishtatef. Everyone would contribute a pruta to the cost of the oil and the wick, and that was how they fulfilled their obligation. So that's another approach. Now, so another very nice explanation of why we light in the Beis HaKnesses. This is really many layers of love. This, the halacha is, if a person is not going to be home for Hanukkah, he's on his traveling. Very common question, Shiloh, person's traveling, has to fly out of town, what should he do? So the answer is, someone should light on his behalf in that home. He should tell his wife or his children to light on his behalf, and when they make the bracha, they shav kavana to be moitzim, he is the Rosh HaBayis, and his wife will light on his behalf. Very good. So the candles will lit on his behalf. But, and let's say he's not married, so he should give someone a prut. If he's not married, he doesn't have a bnei bayis, he's all alone, so he should give someone a nickel, a quarter, a dollar. I want to be mishtatef with you, so when you make your bracha, it should also be on my behalf. Okay, very nice. But he's still missing seeing the neros. He has nowhere to light. The reason why he has, because he's traveling. He's traveling, he's going from the airport to the car, to the convention center of the hotel, he has nowhere to light. Okay, someone's lying on his behalf. But he's still missing the element of seeing the neros of the menorah. So it says, it's brought down halacha, that he should go out of his way, the best that he can, to go and at least see someone else's neros. He's traveling out of town. He's on a plane. He's on a plane.
Coming down.
He's on a plane. So at least make a detour and pass a neighborhood. Now let's say you're traveling.
At least pass
a neighborhood where there are candles in the window. Ad kedei kach me'ikar hadin. It's not clear if we do this as well as that. When he sees the neiros that someone else has lit, he should make the bracha of she'osa nisan lavaseinu bayamim ochem bazman hazeh. He does not make the bracha of lahalik ner shel Chanukah. That has been made on his behalf by his wife or children or his partner. But he still is missing the element of seeing the neiros. So when he sees someone else light neros, they're not his. It's not practical for him to participate because he doesn't know where he's going to be. But when he sees someone's neros, he makes the bracha. That is why it's lit in the base hakneses for the archim, referring to archim who not have no one is lighting on their behalf, or not lighting. Someone is lighting on their behalf. We have over here in the shul, there's a guest room. There are five guests. These five guests have families. The families are out of town. And their wives and their children, their partners are lighting on their behalf. But these guests still need to see neros in order to make the bracha she'os anisna v'seinu b'yamim ahim b'zman hazeh for the din of re'iyah. It's not for the lighting. The lighting, their wife lit for them, but they still have to see the neros. So the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses are for the Orchim, not that this will be the fulfillment of their hadlaka. No, the hadlaka has to be at home, Neri Yishu Beiso. But now there's another element which they are required to fulfill. They have to see Neros Chanukah. Also, in the Beis HaKnesses is the opportunity for all of those lost souls who have fulfilled their obligation with someone else lighting at home to see the Neros here in the Beis HaKnesses, and the bracha that the Shamash or the Chazan will make will be the bracha she'os anislam sin by Mimochim will be on their behalf, will be that bracha. So why then does the Chazan and the Shamash say the first bracha lahalik ner? I guess that's how Chazdimina came about, that you can't say one bracha without the other bracha, so you have to say the bracha. So that's another time of why it evolved this custom to light the Neros in the Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses for the dinner li'iyah for the Orchim who need this element. Yeah. No, that's not the real thing. That's only an image. What? L'chara not. You have to see the real thing. L'chara. That's a stretch. It's a longish stretch to say that. What?
He can make a shechiyan to him first night.
If he sees, so he can make a shechiyan. Correct. He made the shechiyan. Yeah. Correct. Okay. That's now another reason given. It's not so some reasons because that not everyone knows the halachas. And not everyone in ancient times, even today, they're so makbid on this. They, not everyone is religious. Today, you don't have people that are not religious hanging out in shuls. But in the olden days, people that were not fully religious, the shul was, you know, that was where all the social activity. What? Had heat, had food. You hang out. They're going to go home. They're just not interested. At home, they go home. They're not going to lie. They don't care. They're not interested. They're not observant. It doesn't mean anything. So we don't want them to lose out. So this way, it was lit in the Beis HaKnesses on behalf of the people that are not knowledgeable. They're not religious. They also have a chelik of the mitzvah. That's how the minhag. That's how it evolved. They should see people with mezaka on their behalf. With mezaka on their behalf, and they'll see that as well. Okay, it could be very well. Could be okay.
Right,
a
theoretical
question.
Yeah. Okay. If Hanukkah came out in August,
yeah,
did they go through this whole thing? What they do?
Okay, of course.
I have a sneaking suspicion. They don't believe in separation of church and state, because at this time of the year is the Christmas tree, Xmas tree. We have to have a manifestation.
And the other way around, because we have the Hanukkah, they made the Christmas tree.
Whatever it is, you know what I mean. This may be the Lubavitch tree.
I don't think.
See,
I
don't know.
I didn't do it.
Because they are believe that religion is state.
Okay, let's go further now. Okay, so those are the basic sources of how this minhag evolved. Bottom line is we light in the Beis HaKnesses. There are many halachas. Now, where in the Beis HaKnesses do you light? You light on the right side, the left side, Mizrach Darim. So basically, after going through the Sefer, the Paradis Eliezer, I've noticed in my days, every shul does something different. Some shuls, they light all the way in the Mizrach, next to the Aron. And some shuls, they put it in the Kaisel Dorim, the smack in the middle of the shul on the side. And some shuls, they set up a stand in the middle of the shul. Now, wherever you put them, whether it's going to be all the way in the front, whether it's going to be in the middle, on the Kaisel Dorim, or whether it's going to be in the Bima, or it's going to be in a high place, a low place. Next question, when you light, when the one who lights the Nore, is he facing the Olam, or is he facing the wall? There are many combinations. There's a makar for every single possible combination. So whatever you see is good. In Chaim Berlin, they don't even know why it's like that. I don't know what's going on there, but they got it at an angle. Because it's so complicated, they have it in the front, because the only practical, a lot of shuls, they put it in the front because of where it's the most, whatever's practical. Forget about halacha. You want people to see it, and you want it to be, it should be nice, so wherever is the most public, every shul has a different layout, different design, their chairs, their tables, wherever's the most practical place to put it, you put it. So if you want to put it in the front, but you're not being Mekayim Mizrach Lamayev, so they put it on an angle. So you chop around this opinion, that opinion, you get a little bit here, a little bit over there. Some shuls do it like that, at an angle, on a 45 degree angle. What?
They light it between
Minchah and Maariv. We're going to come to that one moment. Okay, but basically, I want to point out that the basic minhag is the Beis HaKnesses resembles the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was whereas in the Doraim, was on the sub, the Shulchan was Bitsofan, the menorah Bitsofan. And when the Kohen would light, he would be facing the wall. That's how we similarly how he would light them. No, he didn't have his back to the wall facing. But whatever it is, generally speaking, most Batei Knesiyos try to some degree put the menorah somewhere on the south. To some degree, there should be a fulfillment that the menorah is in the Doraim, because in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was B'Doraim. After that said, where B'Doraim? Do you face Tehillim? Do you not face Tehillim? This way, that way? There are many Mekoros, many Minhagim, and everyone does what they are accustomed to do. Okay, next question now. In the Beis HaKnesses, when you make the bracha, do you need a minion to make the bracha? So some are of the opinion that being that the only reason why we're in the Beis HaKnesses is not a din of Neri Shubeso, and it's only a minhag, and it's a very weak minhag, and we're making a bracha, presuming Nisa, you must have at least 10 people to make the bracha. If you come, let's say, where is it? Nogei Lecha Lemaisa, Friday. Because the minhag is to light the menorah before you daven mincha. Many regular shulim, regular weekly to make them, you like the menorah between mincha and ma'ariv. So you have the minyan between mincha and ma'ariv, it's not an issue. But Friday, you're gonna light the menorah before mincha. And not all the time do you have a minyan when you want to light the menorah and sechan er shalalu and ma'asur, you're not always going to have a minyan. So can you make the bracha on the menorah before a minyan arrives in the Beis HaKnesses? This is a very big shaila. And many poskim say you should be machm, you should never light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses unless you have a minyan, 10 people, because of pesum enisa. Now listen to this. What, let's say if you don't have 10 men, you have only 5 men and 5 women, or you have 9 women or 10 women, does that count as a minion to be able to light the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses with a minion? So many places can say yes. This is one of the unique things that we also have. This, you have this issue when it comes to laying the Megillah, a women's minion to lay in the Megillah. It's a Tosfos. Tosfos talks about this. Women cannot make up a minion. Megdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, 10 women do not have the power to make a minion for davening. But 10 women do have the ability to create the status of Pirsume Milsa. Where is this Nogei Lecha Lemaisa? It's Nogei Lecha Lemaisa when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, which is a very controversial thing, which we're not going to get into. But it also comes into play when it comes to the requirement to make a bracha for Halakas Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses, where we have followed the opinion we need 10 people, and 10 people do not necessarily have to be 10 men, because it's not a Devar Shebe Kedusha, it's a matter of Pesumei Nisa, and 10 women can make up the quorum that is required in order to make the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses Friday afternoon. So you have a shul out where you don't have to, you only have some women want to come to daven for Friday night, some shuls, then you only have 7 men and 3 women in the ladies section, you're in business. You can now make the bracha in preparation for Mincha Friday. It's a very interesting halacha, very unique halacha. It seemed brought down in the Haredi Svarim, such an inyan. Okay, next issue. What?
Women's lib.
Okay, next issue. Okay, you mentioned, what about how long does it have to last? Now let's go to the home. We know the halacha, the Ner Chanukah must last for a half an hour. Why must less half now? Because that's the share of people. When you make a hadin, the mukar for lighting the menorah is in the home. where Pesach Beis Nivuchutz to the people of the Rishos Sarabim. How long do people linger in the Rishos Sarabim time of Chazal? A half an hour. From the time it gets dark until people disappear from the streets, a half an hour. That's all fine and good when you're lighting it in your home in Pesach Beis Nivuchutz. But when you're lighting in the Beis HaKnesses, you're not dealing with issues of the Rishos Sarabim. You're lighting indoors. Even though Mizman is that we do not light outdoors, we light indoors, but still the Zikr Shi'um come from what took place outdoors. But when you're in the Beis HaKnesses, these issues don't apply. All these issues, you don't light in the Beis HaKnesses by a chaloin. You don't light, some people in the home, they light low down, near the Pesach of the Bais. We discussed this on Monday. Where is the proper location to light? All of these issues of where the proper location to light inside the home do not apply in the Beis HaKnesses. Because the Beis HaKnesses serves an entirely different function of presuming Nisa for the people of the Beis HaKnesses. So then, where does the sheer the amount of time of a half now, where does that come into play? So in a Hanami, there are opinions that hold that there is no requirement that the nearest of the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses should last for half an hour. If you're going to light the menorah between Mincha and Ma'arif, which is the custom, which is also another issue, we don't light the menorah in Chanukah after Tzeis. We light the menorah in Chanukah between Mincha and Ma'arif. We'll get to that in a moment. Why? But let's say you're down a very fast Ma'arif, or you're going down an early Ma'arif, and everyone leaves, and the nearest have only been lit for 15, 20 minutes, and now everyone is leaving, and you want to blow out the nearest Chanukah, so many poskim hold you can blow it out. There is no requirement that the Neros be lit for a half an hour in the Beis HaKnesses. Only in the home is there a requirement that they be lit for a half an hour, because the home comes from the halacha of Pesumanis for the Neros Shosarabim, which linger in the street. The Beis HaKnesses is an entirely new Berea. It's a new creature. It's a new creature for the people of Beis HaKnesses, for the Minyanim. You die the Marav, you finish, you can now blow it out, Pesumanis. Other places can disagree. They say you should be machmir, you should wait at least a half an hour. The bracha was, who's going to be watching the Neros for half an hour? No one. But still in all, you should not be so quick to blow out the Neros. Okay, the Chalukideus on this matter. Okay. Next issue. What did he say? So when do we light the menorah? That's another. No, so this is a very interesting idea. There's a diak in the. I think it's in the Ramah. The Ramah asks a question. How could it be? He doesn't ask it as a question. He makes a statement. Purim night. Do you recite Al Hanisin when you daven Ma'ariv the night of Purim? It's the night of Purim. You daven Ma'ariv and then you lay in the Megillah. And then you say Kaddish Shalem, and then you say Aleinu, Kaddish Yosem. So when you daven Ma'ariv, do you recite Al Hanisim? So the Ramah says, yeah, you can say it, even though you did not yet lay in the Megillah. That's what, those are his words. Even though you did not yet lay in the Megillah, you can already say Yal of the Yavah. Al-Hanisim. He's apologizing. He said, even though it's true that the calendar day is here, it's Purim, but the essence of the holiday has not really entered until you recite the Megillah. So really, technically speaking, it's not the best thing to pad Shemona Esrei with Al-Hanisim before you bring in the sanctity of the holiday with the Al-Hanisim, with the laying of the Megillah. Therefore, that's only true when it comes to Purim. This is a whole new idea why we light in the shul. It's an incredible insight. Why we light in the shul. When it comes to Purim, nighttime, it's weak. It's the holidays, you want to say Al Hanisim. No, it's a doichik to let you say Al Hanisim at night of Purim before you lay in the Megillah. We make Chanukah, you have the same problem. It's Ma'ariv. Really, you should say Al Hanisim at night. You don't say Halal at night. It's not the best time to say to give Sherech V'Hoidah for the miracle at night during Al Hanisim for different reasons. Why? And normally, if you were writing Shulchan Aruch and if you were coming to create the minhag, let me ask you a simple question: when would you institute the learning of the menorah if you were the rabbi of the Beis HaKnesses? Shul. After Ma'ariv. Right? When do you light the Ner Chanukah? Most people daven in early Ma'ariv. When do you light your Ner Chanukah? After Ma'ariv. You daven in Chanukah Bizman. Okay, many people daven Ma'ariv later on, but generally speaking, if you're part of those people who daven Bizman, if you can daven, you daven in Chanukah Ma'ariv, and you go home home, and when you come home, you light as soon as possible, you light the nearest Hanukkah. So why in the shul is it any different? In the shul, you should have a mincha. The rabbi will speak to mincha, Marif will learn Mishnayos, whatever the rabbi learns, he'll have a Marif, and then before everyone goes home, you light, it's dark. Now is when you can be nena from, you can see the beauty of the nearest Hanukkah. You light, you'll say, Asher, Kedushan, B'mitzvah, Halei Neshul Hanukkah, you'll Asher, Sanisim, Shachiyanu, you'll sing, Haneris Alolu, Mo Sur, and then you'll go home. Isn't that the proper, isn't that the Seder Hayom, especially the proper time to light the Neres? It's after Ma'arif? But whatever reason is, it's strange, we light Ner Chanukah in between Mincha Ma'arif, and in fact we light it too early. There's a Zman when you should light, lighting it Mincha Ma'arif generally is too early, especially if you're diving in early Ma'arif, after Plaga Mincha, you already can light the Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Why are we doing that? The Zman has not yet arrived, and ideally it would have been better to light after Ma'arif.
Sure.
You know what the answer is? Because you want to say Alanisim.
By Ma'arif.
Unbelievable. You know how the minute came about? Not for the Orchim. Not for the people of the Amaratzim. Not because of the Naroya. Not because it's Persume Nisa.
Unlike
you want to say Al Hanisim.
This year, the first night of Hanukkah is Moshe Shabbos, so you can't light before Ma'arif.
Okay, when it's Mitzvah Shabbos, you got a problem. You're right; it's a good problem. So then you have to fall back on point, even though we didn't lay in the Megillah. We didn't lay in the Megillah.
Time in 20 years, you had the problem.
We didn't lay in the Megillah. You can say Al Hanisim. So we didn't light. It's an incredible insight how this minute came about. In order to bring in the Kedusha of Hanukkah so that we can say for real Al Hanisim, we light in the Beis HaKnesses when? Before we daven Ma'arif, an early lighting. We've already brought the Kedusha of Hanukkah in our midst. The Nela, now when we daven Ma'arif, we can recite with full confidence Al Hanisim. Incredible insight. Yeah.
Your house,
yeah, no, you don't do that. If I'm down in your house, well, first they should know the different customs. That's a general, it's a halachic issue. When's the ideal time to light the nearest Hanukkah?
Your logic follows. Yeah. The logic is you light it in the basement first, because
it's true and it's not true. The tzibur can be different.
The tzibur can be different.
That's a very complicated issue of when a person really should light nearest Hanukkah. There are many different opinions. Aaron Cutler had a sheet of when the light should be lit, it's very complicated. Is the ideal time to light Ner Chanukah? Should you daven Ma'arif first? Should you daven Ma'arif later? If you can daven Ma'arif later on, exactly when after sunset, how many minutes after sunset in America, in Eretz Yisrael, with Shkia and Tzitzak HaKochavim? It's very complicated and there are different opinions. But one thing is clear. In the Beis HaKnesses, less man the Pollock, the minig is the daven mincha and Ma'arif bezman. Whatever your zmanim are, those kilos, they daven the mincha at the very end of the day, and then there's a break, a short break, whether it's a long break or a short break, and then they daven Ma'arif. It's clear you light the menorah between mincha and Ma'arif. And that raises many questions. Why? It should be after Ma'arif. Number two, why are you lighting all together in the Beis HaKnesses? Why are you making a bracha? All of these things merged together is because how are you allowed to say Al Hanisim? Saying Al Hanisim by Ma'arif, by Purim, we find is a very difficult issue.
But we don't extend that to the home.
No, not necessarily.
You'll say Al Hanisim first.
Correct. Okay, that's another issue. Let's go to another issue. There are a lot of issues. I don't know if we have time to do everything today, but there are a lot of very interesting issues. Another, who lights the Ner Chanukah? Who lights it? In the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, who just stop? They go, oh, no, you want to light? Oh. Like, who wants to daven? Unfortunately, today we live in such a watered down society, and we have so little dignity and so little chashivas. But in ancient times, not so long ago, it was a very big covet.
Yes.
And it was a very organized thing. Who lights? First of all, there were some Hasidic Rebbes who had a minhag every night. Someone else lights. They're very mocked with the same person, and not really clear why the same person should not light two nights in a row. That's number one. There are other rebbes that would be mechabed to light the menorah, people that needed yeshuas, people who had problems in life, and the lighting of the menorah is such a great skula, such a great schus, to light the ner chanuk. We're dealing with a zecher for a miracle. There are people in this world who need miracles. There are a lot of people. What? It has to be taken in moderation. You have to balance. You don't want you don't want to hang your dirty laundry. Everyone has to know your tzaris. But let's say you're dealing with people, everyone knows their problems, and then there's no embarrassment. So it's a very big school. It's a very big thing to be the one that will perform the mitzvah in front of the entire Beis HaKnesses to publicize a nes. And it was given very carefully to select individuals who were deserving or who were in need of this merit.
That's
Hasidish. Not even today. Not anymore today. This goes back before our times. Okay, that's another. That's very too different. Then there is the custom that the shliach tzibur. It belongs to the shliach tzibur. Whoever is the shliach tzibur, they have the right. Oh, so that's the question. So it goes both ways. This is not clear. Because where do we find a precedent for this halacha? Selichos. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, not everyone does this, the one that daven selichos is the one that should daven shachris. Now today everything is very complicated because there are avelim and there are fights and there's politics and there's this and there's that. But let's put everything aside. Let's say there are no avelim. Everything else being equal. May ikar hadin, the one that daven slicha should be the one that daven shachris, because hamaschil b'mitzvah, I'm loy gemar. You're already there by the amud. You're the one that did, so the slichos continue forward and daven the shachris. That's the ikar hadin. There are many exceptions why it's not done like that today, because of avelim and because of not everyone has the koyach to do. Not everyone wants to. No one has the koyach and this and that. You'll find me 10 different reasons why it should not be done. Fine, but totally ikar hadin. The same thing is true when it comes to lighting of the Hanukkah candles. So it goes both ways. Either it goes the one that davens mincha. It's another whole issue. Is the lighting of the candles an extension of the mincha? Or is it the beginning of Maariv? That's another very big dilemma. How do you view it? It's really both. So the one that davens mincha, hamaschil b'mitzvah, I'm loy gemar, you have the right to go forward. Or if we're going to say that no, mincha is over, now the lighting of the neris Chanukah really represents the beginning of the next day, because you're lighting the number of neris for the next day. So it is the haschola of Maariv. The male, the one that will daven Maariv, is the one that has the right to light the neris of Chanukah. Now the reason why this is very problematic, Bisman Hazeh, is for two reasons. Avelim, an Avel, most what they can see is as allow an Avel to daven mincha and Maariv and Chanukah. I don't say most. I think it's probably common that Avelim daven on Chanukah at least mincha Maariv. Shachris, some do, some don't, some only do not daven Hallel. Okay, different customs. But let's say we do allow an Avel to daven mincha and Maariv. There is discussion if an Avel is permitted to light the Neros Chanukah and the Beis HaKnesses. Of course, at home you have no choice. Ner Yishu Beisai. But the Beis HaKnesses is a whole new min. It's a whole new bria. Lying with India.
Shechianu.
So there's an issue. So there's two issues. Yes, the Avel makes a Shechianu at home. Absolutely, the Avel does make a Shechianu at home. But making a Shechianu in public is a dilemma. So there are two issues. First of all, the first night, some say an Avel should not be the one who lights because of the Shechianu, but he may light the Neros the following nights. Other posts can disagree. Everything is always a matter of dispute. That an Avel should not light even the following nights because it represents a very great time of Simcha, and it's the custom in shuls to sing the Haneris Halalu, to sing Mo Sur. What?
Avel doesn't participate in any public Simchos.
You don't participate in public Simchos, and therefore an Avel should not be the one. So if you have the shul, the Avel is going to be davening Ma'ar. Ma'ariv or Davening Mincha, and now you have the issue of a Maschel B'mitzah and Le'gemar. Does that go so far to allow an Oval to participate in the public lighting of the Ner? So that's another issue. But Nikar Din, it does belong to the Shatz, to according to these opinions. That is another issue. This is a fascinating issue. It belongs to the Shamash, the Beis HaKnesses. The Shamash is not the Chazan.
No.
There's the Chazan HaKnesses, and there is the Shas, the Shamash. Today, many shuls today, today the Gabbai is not a Shamash.
No,
today, a Shamash is a dying breed. They don't have anymore. What? The Reverend. Right, we don't have expenses.
He's called the Montreal Chazan.
Right. I know my father, so we have, when I came as a little child, there was a Shamash, he was an old timer. And then when he was Nifter, they hired a new Shamash, and when that Shamash retired, he was not replaced, and his duties were distributed among a group of people. And that's really the way it is in most shuls today. And even the big shuls which have 2,000 members, I don't even know if they call them Shamash. They have like a lot of Gaboyim, and they have different ritual directors. I don't even know if they call them. The whole role of a shamash today is not what it used to be. You check out the shuls that have 2,000 members. Okay, see if they have someone that's called a shamash. They divide the duties among 10 gaboyim, 50 minyanim. You do this and this, and they hire this one and that one. Everything's a big mishmash. Yeah.
Right, because what I know is the shuls that have 700-800 members and Tina have no official shot.
Exactly, right. Exactly. It's but until not so long we have in Yonita LaFlapish, Reverend Friedman. Remember Reverend Friedman?
Yeah, sure.
Famous, the famous Shamish. You know, he was like an icon. My father's shul, we had the Shamash, we had two Shamash. They took pride.
Full-time job.
9:30.
Today, it's a matter of money.
It's not only a matter of money, it's a matter, it's more than that. It's that a shul today is not one shul, it's 20 shuls. You have a minyan Friday night, you have a minyan, the first minyan shachar, second minyan shachar. It used to be, in the olden days, there was one community, there was one shul, there was one minyan, everyone who davened Sunday morning was the same people who davened Mitzvah Shabbos and Friday night. Today, Mitzvah Shabbos is a whole different world. Friday night is a whole different world. Sunday morning is a whole different minyan. During the weekdays of Mincha Maariv, every Mincha Shabbos, it's a whole different Bria. 20 different shuls are in one shul. And also Shabbos morning, you don't have one minyan. What shul today has one minyan Shabbos morning? If you don't have at least three minyanim, you're not on the map.
In charge of the whole shul.
You're not on the map.
Many minyanim when they had a Shabbos.
The whole shul was
a lot of people could not daven for the omen. So many of the old shuls, the Shabbos would daven mincha.
Right.
That's right.
There wasn't an Indian
exactly.
At that time. Someone was an Ovel.
Didn't make a difference.
He didn't doubt him.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. This is a new thing today.
Shabbos was a called Vo, and he was in charge.
But it used to be this creature called Shamash. Today, we don't really have it.
Exactly.
Now, but it used to be, such a person called a Shamash. He is now, this is a fascinating minhag. In the Beis HaKnesses, now, it's not a coincidence that on the Hanukkah menorah there is a shamash, and in the Beis HaKnesses there is a shamash. Therefore, the two have something in common. And therefore, it used to be the custom, it's an incredible insight, the shamash, he lights the menorah. Just like the ner, that's the shamash, lights the other eight neros, the shamash, he is the one that has the honor. This is his thing. He has the honor of lighting the menorah. It's his function. Not the chazan, not the rav, not anyone, not the highest bidder. It goes to the Shamash. Now I saw in, I think in Worms, in Varmiza, it brings down here in this Parashat Eliezer, he says the minhag. This is a beautiful minhag, and it just goes to show how far we are, removed we are from a dignified shul. Can you imagine, this is the scene that took place Chanukah, and every night Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. Just imagine this scene. This is the Seder. The Seder. What? Listen to the Seder. Everyone comes to shul, not dealing with a minyan, the early minyan, 5 o'clock, so everyone's working, so it's not shaykh today. You have probably in the shul a few hundred people, or 100 people, or 50, whatever it is. Everyone's quiet. The shamash of the Beis HaKnesses goes up to the bima, goes up wherever the menorah is, whether it's on the bima or whether it's by the aron on the right side the kusel darum, it's on a platform. He goes up and he lights the shamash. He lights the shamash, or the shamash could be whoever was lit. If everyone came to shul, the shamash of them was already lit. Let's assume it was already lit. He lit it before everyone came to shul. 10 minutes before everyone came to shul, he lit the shamash. The shamash goes up in front of the whole tzibur, they finish mincha. Mincha is over. During mincha, the shamash is lit, but not the minhag. He walks up. Everyone watches him, and he lifts up the shamash from the menorah. He removes it from the menorah, and he comes down the steps, comes into the audience, and he hands the shamash to the chazan haknesses, to the baal tefillah, or the big the chazan, the one who, the old shuls, they have a special miyuchad. Right, they have a special, the chazan haknesses. He gives him the candle. And then make believe it's Helfgott. Helfgott then goes, he walks up the steps, and he makes the bracha b'chazanus. Okay, he gargles and he makes the bracha, and then he says the second bracha and the third bracha, and then he sings Haneris Halalu and then Mosur with the participation of Beis HaKnesses, and then the Chazan HaKnesses turns around, he holding on to the shamash, comes down the steps in front of the whole tzibur, hands the shamash to the shamash, from shamash to shamash,
calling Fata,
and then everyone's quiet. The shamash takes the shamash, walks back up the steps, and puts it into the holder, as if the chazan could have just as well put it back in the holder, but he purposely does not.
It's a ceremony.
Isn't that a beautiful ceremony?
Same thing with kvata.
It's an incredible thing. It just goes to show how far we removed we are today from ceremonial services. All the days. It just goes to show how far we remove we are. What it means to light. We look at the Lubavitch. It makes me sick to watch. I mean, I don't need to tell us Lubavitch. They go in the cherry picker and they're lighting with all the politicians up there. That's not dignity. This was dignified. You're in the Beis HaKnesses, a holy makom, and a holy place.
A
everyone is there, quiet. The shamash, and how beautiful it is. The shamash to the shamash. Now, let me go. A lot more I want to tell you. We're going to continue Mitzvah Shem next week. But one thing I want to tell you, one thing I want to, before we conclude, is in my father's shul, we had a shamash. I'm Shlomo Edelman. He was a Rosh, and he was a little guy. Yeah. So he was there for how many? Many, many years. And he retired. So when he retired, we made for him a shalash shulis. I was very close with him, and my father asked me to speak, to be like the guest speaker for his goodbye party, the Shalash Shulis, that was given in honor of the Shamash. So let me tell you what I said. So I said, I spoke about the Shamash, and I said that there's another Shamash, the Shamash of the Menorah. How many Neiros do you light, Chanukah? Well, first night, it's Machlokes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. The first night, according to Beis Shammai, you light eight. Next night, seven. The second night, one of the candles is missing. The third night, two candles are missing. Missing candles. Okay, Beis Hillel, how many do you light? The first night, one. The first night, seven are missing. It goes on like this. But basically, according to everyone, there's always someone missing. You have eight holders, eight placeholders, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, there's always someone missing. But who's always there?
The
Shamash is always there. In the Beis HaKnesses, you have members, some are in Florida, some in Eretz Yisrael. This one has a simcha, the rabbi's on vacation, the president's on vacation, the gabbai's not here. There's this minion, the first minion, the second minion, Mitzvah Shabbos minion. No one is here all the time. There are always people, always candles missing. But the shamash is always there. That's the mile of a shamash. And therefore it's very nice on Hanukkah. We see in ancient times, I told you ancient times, I'm talking about 100 years, so that's what we call ancient, this fast changing, fast paced society. There was an inyan of a shamash. And that inyan of a shamash was played up on Hanukkah with the shamash of the menorah, the shamash to the shamash, and it's a very beautiful minute. I think it's a very beautiful thing to see how these are what we used to be and how far we have fallen from this dignity that it used to be. So, okay, Mishnah, we'll pick up on this more next time on Monday. Okay, Mishnah tomorrow at 9:30.